Greetings, Frop fans. It's your old buddy Vince Mancini here. You might notice a few things different about this week. It sounds different. There's no intro music. Well, what happened was we went to the gathering. We recorded a Fropcast there, and then Ben had to go straight from there to Seattle. And since we recorded Seattle for some corporate soul crushing that he was doing, and he took the mixer and all the mics in his bag with him because we didn't think about having to record this week's Frot at home. So what we're going to do for you this week is I also you might notice I'm talking into my iPhone right now. Like I said, no microphones. So what we're going to do this week, since we didn't have any way to record, I did do this interview at the gathering with Dante Nero, who's a comedian from Brooklyn. And we talked to him for like 30, 40 minutes. And I listened to it. I thought it was pretty interesting. He's a really good guy. Very articulate and talkative. And I think he would have talked to us for like an hour if we wanted. He was just ready to do whatever. And, you know, after the hell gig that was performing in front of like a brightly lit warehouse full of juggalos, it was exciting for us, and good to have a chat after that. So I hope you guys enjoy that. You can still buy the Fropcast that we recorded at the gathering, I believe, on Fropcast.com. If you can't find that, just email us, Fropcast@gmail.com. We'll help you out with that. I can't remember how much we're charging, but not much, I don't think. Anyway, you'll hear on the tape, it's me and Matt Lieb and Ben, Drunk Ben. You'll hear Drunk Ben pipe in a few times while we're there. And in the background, you'll probably be able to hear Juggalo Night Court, because we were recording this right after Dante's set outside as they were doing Juggalo Night Court inside. So you'll hear me, you'll hear Matt Lieb a little quieter, because like I said, I was recording with my iPhone, and then Drunk Ben will chime in every now and then. So if you like it, I didn't actually ask Dante, I don't know, Dante knew I was recording and stuff. I don't think I specifically asked if I could use it as a podcast, but I'm going to do that, and hopefully he'll be cool with it. If you like what you hear, say nice things about him being on the Fropcast, if you tweet him or whatnot. Say nice things, because the more good response people get from being on the Fropcast, the more likely more people are to do it in the future. Anyway, hope you guys enjoy it. And if you're wondering what all those loud noises are as I'm recording this, the pounding and whatnot, that's a team of Mexicans that is currently going at the exterior of our building with hammers and drills. I think they're actually taking the whole building apart and then putting it back together again. So they're probably not going to be done by next week. So that's something to look forward to when we record next week, is the sound of hammering and drilling. It's really awesome trying to nap and masturbate in the afternoon. I know I'm going to gain no sympathy talking about my afternoon, midday nap and masturbation schedule. But, that's my life. There you go. Check it out. Also check out the podcast that we recorded live at the gathering, where we're talking more, about being there with each other. This is more just us talking to Dante about comedy and stuff, and I thought it was pretty cool. So check it out. Bye.
I'm going to record it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah. Let's do it.
So is this your first time performing at the gathering?
Yeah.
So he and I are both also comedians. We've not been doing it for very long.
How long?
I've been doing it now for 2.5 years.
Okay. Babies.
This to me seems like probably the biggest nightmare gig of all time. I can't imagine it.
I thought about it. It's kind of what I expected.
It was exactly what I expected.
I heard it was worse, though. It used to be worse.
No, did you come in with expectations?
I thought it was going to be a nightmare. I thought it was going to be a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
First thing is the setup, because I mean, if y'all are both comics, you know that
setup.
You gotta feel the audience.
Yeah,
and it's like you're yelling.
It's like
out
a warehouse,
over a fucking
right?
ocean. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you can't really get any energy.
Yeah.
From them.
It needs to be closed off. Is a big thing.
Yeah.
There has to be no outside interruption.
Yeah. And you gotta bring them closer. It's the stage is kind of high. You're too high from the stage. The interaction, the energy is not there. I mean, they were. It was better than I thought because, they were fairly attentive. I mean, a little heckling here and there because they're a little hyped up or whatever. It is 2 o'clock in the fucking morning, 3 yeah. o'clock in the morning. So considering it's 3 o'clock in the morning,
yeah.
and these motherfuckers have been getting drinking, they've been drinking and getting high all day,
yeah.
it ain't that bad a gig.
Yeah.
You know, but to do 40, 45,
yeah.
and you're yelling into a fucking...
abyss.
Yeah, It's a little crazy.
Did you, do you alter things that you're doing just because you know what the gig's going to be like? Or is it like...
I'm a much more interactive comic. Mm-hmm. Like, I talk to the audiences, but you can't get a bead on anything here. So right. This is one of those things you just got to plow through.
Yeah. That was the feeling I got. It was like, if you were to really go for them, for anyone,
yeah.
you wouldn't really have... the entire crowd behind you because everyone's so sectioned off.
Yeah, yeah. So you just got to kind of plow through and whatever hits, and, you know, you just do your time.
You know? So you seem like you were, like, really nice, just sort of, like, you know, when people are talking in the middle of your setups, you kind of go with it, and you kind of, like, wait for them. Is that a standard, or is that different?
Well,
do you do different here, or is
well,
it...
I think, well, for me, I'm, like I said, I'm a more interactive comic,
right.
so, usually, I like the organic aspect of comedy. So even when I'm in a club, if somebody's talking,
mm-hmm.
I'll let them talk because you can always, when you start to trust you're funny, you can always find something that'll take you somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, I've been doing it like 13 years, and I'm trying to stay interested in comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I do it, I don't just do it for the audience, I do it for myself. So those little organic moments is the thing, those are the things that keep me doing comedy.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'd just be doing stuff that you probably know. You know the reaction.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you, I was one of Patrice O'Neill's best friends.
Oh, really?
We came up together. We didn't come up together, man, but I met him. We were friends for a long time, and he just watching him as free form as he is, you know, if you've ever seen Elephant in the Room, he's doing crowd work
on a special, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
Like,
just insane, you know. So, I mean, I always admired, you know, that kind of organic thing that he did, and so it's kind of where I go with mine. So I don't mind... as long as they're not being dicks, they're talking, and you just kind of, you can, and if you've been doing it long enough, you know, if you have to get them, you can get them.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna,
So that one guy that where they were about to throw him out,
yeah.
I feel like, a lot of other comics, they'd be like, oh yeah, fucking get him out of here. But you're like, oh no, let him stay. Is that a strategy to sort of get the rest of the audience with you?
I didn't really see him. He really wasn't, he was trying to answer me.
Right.
He was fucked up.
Yeah.
He wasn't being really a dick. He was trying to answer me. But
right.
I didn't know that's what he was. First, I thought he was trying to be a dick.
Yeah.
And then when I kind of noticed he wasn't trying to be a dick, I'm like, I don't give a fuck if you talk.
Yeah.
I mean, when you do it for a long time, they're sheep.
Yeah.
So if they're trying to be funnier than you,
yeah.
there's no way, I do this every day.
Yeah, right.
13 years. How could you possibly think that you're going to beat me?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like you go into your professional boxing, even he's not a title boxer, but he's a boxer.
Yeah,
right.
And you're going to say, oh, I'm going to fight this dude. You're not going to fight this dude.
Yeah.
You're going to get your feelings
hurt. So you think if you were like more, if people that are more insecure about it, they would probably want to shut the guy down faster, whereas you're just like, you're comfortable in it. You're like, all right, go ahead.
I know I can handle it.
Yeah,
I know I can handle
right.
it. So I'm comfortable enough that I know I can handle it.
Do you think being like a big, intimidating looking dude, does that affect the kind of comedy that
sure,
you can do?
That's why I sit down.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I sit down. I mean, it's not so bad in here because the stage is so high and it's so open. But when I'm in a club and it's 150 people and I stand up, it's sometimes they're not even listening to me. They're just...
Right.
They're going,
right.
what the fuck is this? So I have a couple of lines that I do that kind of put you at ease about my size. And you got to talk about it, you address it, and then you can kind of move on.
Yeah.
So.
Same thing with the heckler thing. Like, if you weren't a big, intimidating dude, do you think it'd be easier Like, do you feel like it turns off the audience being intimidating if you just sort of shut someone down, like, harshly?
Is
that
a
different...
I know I have to be careful because what I say sounds aggressive even though it's not aggressive. Because people take their insecurities and they're displacing their insecurities on you. And so you're, like, they're, what's going to happen, you know? So you have to take into mind how people perceive you. I mean, the best comics understand they're on stage and they're in the audience at the same time. They're watching how you're perceiving me, and they're performing at the same time, and they're processing the information from both ends. So how they perceive me or how they don't perceive me, it's different. I mean, this is, you know, like, I'm a little edgier. Like, I have a lot of edgier stuff that I just deleted from here because, they was talking about... Upchuck was telling me about how you can't, you know, they don't want... The one thing I said about the Asian dude in the pocket, and the dude goes, he screams out, "You fucking bigot."
Right.
But it's like...
Which is almost ironic, because most of the people here would be totally down for that, but he's just trying to heckle in the best way.
But it's also...
Because this isn't San Francisco, you know.
But how many dumb Asian people have you met? Honestly, not a ton. I've seen
porn, and the biggest dick I've seen in Asian porn is not really that impressive.
Yeah, right.
And that's their go-to guy.
Sometimes that's their Michael Jordan.
Like,
microscopic, too.
Yeah, yeah. So,
Did you feel you had to, in any way, not go for your really edgiest material because you thought it would go over their heads, or did you think that they just would be too sensitive?
The edgy stuff, the heady stuff was going over their head. Like, I do some really heady stuff, like the thing I said about women, pretty girls not being attractive.
Right.
That makes it very tense in a room when you're in a room of couples.
Right.
Because it's like, there's a lot of pretty women and they're like, well, you know.
Yeah.
And they... So that stuff, and they didn't even get that. So the simple stuff, they got really big laughs. And then the stuff that's a little more heady, it just kind of... So you just got to really kind of feel it out. And then you're still trying to do 40, and you're not interacting. So it's 40 of all banging out material.
And you got to use all your material that doesn't last more than... Like, no big chunk, because they're not paying attention for long periods of time.
Yeah, you go into... You're losing them on stuff. I mean, a lot of longer chunks of stuff that I have that's a lot more involved. You have to edit down. And so you're re-editing in your head.
Right.
While you're performing,
so you're thinking about that while you're doing it.
Yeah. And you just,
17 years of material that you have to re-edit.
Yeah, you got to re-edit that you've been doing it. But I mean, I'm kind of freeform anyway, so it's not so hard for me. But you're thinking, okay, I got to take this out. This is edgy. This is, you know, I do this.
Have you done a music festival before?
No, this is my first one.
Were you familiar with Juggalos and their music?
I know Insane Clown Posse, I know their stuff. I'm not, like, really, really familiar with the stuff. Like, I didn't know that there's this whole thing about them, about nobody picking on everybody, very... Like, because what they were telling me is that it's just very not supposed to be... Everybody's supposed to get along and stuff like that. So I didn't know that was the lyrics in the song, and that's what Upchuck was telling me that.
Yeah.
So anything racial or anything, get it out. You know,
because they say ninja instead of saying the N-word out of, I guess, political correctness, but also, I guess, just an urge to say an N-word.
Right, right.
Like, they want to say an N-word. Yeah.
Neighbor.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I like neighbor. That's my favorite substitute.
Yeah. Did you feel... how does this compare to the most hostile audience you've ever dealt with? Or was this the most
hostile? Yeah, what is...
They weren't hostile.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they were hostile at all.
Just more like...
They just... They don't have the comedy etiquette.
Right.
You know, I mean, and you find that... I do black audiences. You do black audiences. Like, black audiences are... Well, I don't know if they're tough, but they just...
Tough for me.
They can be good or amazing, it seems like.
Well,
they can be really amazing.
I'll tell you something. If you're a white guy, a lot of times you'll do better.
Mm.
Because just if you just be a goofy white guy, they love a goofy white guy that panders to them.
I find they like a goofy white guy being dirty, which is helpful. I find they tend to like a goofy white guy when you're being really dirty, which is like great for me.
Or you know, you get up there and just, I want to be black. And they love... It's just, which is weird because you find that any monolithically racial group is the same way.
Yeah.
Like, if you, I've done all Spanish rooms, right. and they, like, when they think I'm Spanish, they're with me. Mm-hmm. Right. Then they find out I'm black, then they don't like me.
Yeah.
I know there's a Russian chick that I know does comedy, and she kind of does mainstream comedy. And when she does Russian rooms, they hate her. You know, I know.
Yeah, because they're not. It's not an outsider. It's like, right. yeah.
If you're Italian, you're Italian. You got to be like Dice. They want you to be like Dice. If it's a prime, you just fucking go ahead. Go, you're doing great. You're doing great. Yeah. So anytime you have it, when the minute you take a room and you make it more diverse, it's almost like everybody's okay. We need to be on better behavior.
Yeah,
and they're more open to like I'll do black. You know, you can take the same rough black crowd. Mm-hmm. Mix them in with some Puerto Ricans, some Asians, some whites in a room, put some hard bottom shoes on everybody, and right. and they're different people.
Well, because totally they feel like they have to conform to somebody else's etiquette instead of knowing like, oh, this is my house.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. But here the other thing
is hard bottom shoes though.
Yeah. Now here's
you put sneakers on them.
Yeah, it's a what's funny too is black comedy because there's no black comedy clubs. They're always in a bar, in a club. Man. It's always in addition to there's an after party. There's always a whole lot of shit. So when you do a black room, people are going, they're coming to get soul food, oxtail. Mm-hmm. They're coming to pick up girls. They're coming to, a few of them are coming to see comedy. Right. They're coming for the after party. And right. so there's not, like, in a comedy club, the event is the comedy.
Right. You got to be prepared to sit there and not talk right. for, you know, however
and
long.
And some guys are coming to hit on girls and whatever. And so nobody, you'll find a lot of times when you do black rooms, everything has to be very short.
Yeah.
Quick attention spans. And that's why you find black comics, they'll repeat the setup.
Right.
Several times. They don't want to drop the punchline when everybody. So you got to say the setup 20 times so you make sure everybody in the room got it.
Quick reminder.
Man, like if you watch JB Smooth.
Yeah.
JB is, I mean, he is the kid. He's like, man, my neighborhood's fucked up. It's fucked up. I gotta move out. My neighborhood's fucked. Up.
Yeah,
right. My neighborhood is so fucked up.
Do you have a hold on the premise?
It's fucked up. Then he go, I went to close my window and there was a robber hanging on the windowsill. And then he drops the
right.
punchline.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to the club. The club is old. Yeah. God damn, the club is old. The club's so old. I looked in the mirror and it was in black and white.
Right.
And he drops. So, but he'll beat you to death for the premise. And then squeeze everything out of the premise.
Right, right.
Kind of helps because you're like, all right.
I get it.
You're on your heels, and then you're just like, all right, hit me. Just knock me
please,
out already.
Please.
Yeah.
Put me out of my misery. Is almost out of my misery. More funny in and of itself.
Yeah.
Just keep going with the premise.
Yeah, just keep.
That's
know.
Funny.
So you are you doing comedy in New York mostly?
Yeah, right in New York.
We're in San Francisco.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, you ever out there?
I went out there. I shot a stand up at the El Rey in El Rey Theater. Where is that? In Beverly Hills?
Oh, I don't know. Where's El Rey? At? El Rey is in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So yeah. I shot it out there. Well, I mean, you get a lot of comments that were like, I'm going out to LA. I'm like, nobody's looking for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's comics out there.
Yeah.
You can already see like 10 good comics for like $5.
And they're not looking for you to come.
Well,
so
they're not paying.
Yeah.
No one gets paid.
I had a big thing. I don't know if you saw it online and stuff. I just did this thing where this dude was doing this YouTube guy was doing Patrice's material.
You're stealing it?
Yeah.
Oh,
just
man.
Verbatim.
Whoa.
Did you see this?
It's weird that people still think they get away with
this kid. His name is Kane Carter. I think his YouTube channel is Hot Damn I Rock.
Uh-huh. Well, Hot Damn I Copy Word For. I mean, it's one thing because, like, these guys love comedy. They do comedy all the time. And they always get upset. Like, this one guy's joke was sort of similar. As an outsider, it's like, look, you might come up with similar things.
But
you're saying
word
shit
for
word for
yeah,
word,
word
beat
for word
beat,
is like
punchline for punchline.
Yeah.
That's a straight copy.
Yeah,
of
yeah, yeah.
So wait, was he doing this on stage in front of a crowd?
No, he was doing YouTube clips.
Oh,
in his bathroom of him just jacking his material.
Wow. So pretending that he was coming up with his own
thoughts. And his was crazy. He had 97 million views.
Holy shit.
660.
So he figured out he's stealing shit.
That's like a good amount of money you make on that.
Subscribers.
Wow.
And so what happened between you and
I called him out. Yeah. I called him out, and I had some guys who do videos, and they actually did a comparison video.
Wow, that's
great. Well, I had three dudes do comparison, and I tweeted it out. But now
Comedy Justice.
And I have a podcast. It's the Beige Phillips Show is my podcast. It was me and Patrice's. We had a podcast. We had a radio show.
What's the show called? Sorry.
Beige Phillips Show. Okay. The Beige Phillips Show. But it was Black Phillip when me and Patrice did it. We did it on ONA.
Yeah.
And I'm not really black, so I just call it Beige Phillip. But yeah. I called a dude out, and then his 600,000 fans have been fuck you and me and sucking my dick on for the last 6 days.
Oh, it's awesome.
Even after you showed him, like, this is, yeah, it's not like we're just pulling this out of the air.
What's crazy is there's no ethic about it at all. And what you were saying is about, even if it's the same premise, I mean, there's a lot of dudes, like, I'll give you Norton, Jim Norton's coming here, I think, tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah.
And Norton is, you need me?
In a minute, but, you know, like, you can come back to this, but I need to take care of you.
All right, can you hang out for a second?
Yeah, sure. Right.
It'll take, like, 5 minutes.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
So the dude, he did the verbatim, and I don't know if you saw the thing on YouTube with Joe Rogan and
Mencia?
And no, not Joe Rogan Mencia, Joe Rogan and Jamie Kilstein.
Oh no,
the Tosh.0 thing.
No,
Tosh, you know, Tosh said he was doing a joke and something was about rape, and the girl said,
oh, yeah. The thing that bugged me about that is that everybody took what the heckler said Tosh's bit was and just said, like, that was the bit. And I was no, that's what somebody,
that's what somebody
paraphrased. Yeah, right. I'm sure he didn't say exactly that thing.
He said she was heckling him, and then she said, he said it would be funny if all of those guys raped you.
According to her.
That's what he said.
Oh, okay.
He did say that, but it was as a result of her heckling.
Right. Exactly, which is something that I think only a comic would understand.
Yeah, you heckle. Yeah. Now it's shit's in the streets.
Exactly.
So it's like
it's open game.
You want to open your mouth.
You started it.
I have to make fun of you now. You forced me to.
Now I'm finishing it. You know. Exactly. So, but Jamie Kilstein, who's super liberal, he's a fucking douche sometimes. he said, you know, sometimes I'm ashamed of my gender, and in the course of rape culture, he was just all this crazy.
Oh, like, I didn't hear about that.
But this kid who did the video is this kid Mischief Maker who took the video. Then when he went on Joe Rogan, and then misrepresented the conversation that they had, and this kid took the actual conversation and compared the two, what he said, and so the kid is a Beige Phillip fan, and he called me up, and he did this video, and it just was like the dude is a whiz kid, because he knows, he loves comedy, and so he was
knew which clips to pull and all that.
Clearly, right?
Oh yeah, oh, it's crazy the way, like, he clipped. And then what's funny is here's what, I'll give you the heads up. He just did another one on this kid where, because it was about 6 videos that was Patrice's material. He just did another video he's getting ready to release is the kid stealing Cat Williams, Kevin Hart, and some more Patrice's stuff.
Damn.
So, and he's getting ready to drop that now.
If you're a black national headliner, he's pretty much going to steal your shit.
Yeah, watch out, Hannibal Buress.
Well, it wouldn't, you know, Hannibal Buress is not philosophical. Yeah. So, like, you know. Yeah, so, it blew up huge. They wrote it up in Huffington Post. Laughspin had it, and just people have been tweeting about it. And then there's a bunch of response videos to that. So, you know, but I was just crazy to know that that whole YouTube thing is, like, this, it's a whole other world. Like, they think these dudes are celebrities.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This dude literally was doing videos in his bathroom, in his mother's bathroom.
And it's probably, like, 15-year-old kids have never heard the basis.
And they were tweeting me, fuck you, who are you, nobody knows who you are, who gives a fuck about Patrice, I don't know, I didn't even know who Patrice was until this dude yelled at me. I don't understand why your ignorance is your fucking defense.
Also, why you're angry. Like, hey.
He stole it.
Where's where he got it from?
No, no. We showed you some knowledge. Why are you actively hostile to the knowledge that we just gave you?
Because I'm dumb and I want to stay dumb.
Yeah.
I had a dude tweet me and go, who the fuck is Dante Nero? I just checked his IMDb. He's only got 13 movies.
As opposed to this YouTube guy.
As opposed to the YouTube guy.
He doesn't have 14.
Yeah. And then they tweet me constantly. They were tweeting me today, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You're nobody. And I go, you stop riding my dick.
Oh, yeah.
You're tweeting me, you fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
Do you know how old they are? I'm just curious.
Anywhere from 16 to 25.
But you're so young, kids.
Yeah. Here's one thing.
I'm making excuses for
you. I spoke to this kid, and he's supposed to come on my show. So he's coming on my show next week. And I want to talk to him and explain to him why. Because I really think he doesn't understand that you just can't. He understands it, but I don't think he understands it, you know?
Yeah.
So I had one of his fans was tweeting me. And he goes, who the fuck are you? Nobody in my university or my job knows who the fuck you are. Who the fuck are you?
And that's all the people.
Suck
of
my
the world.
Dick. Suck my dick. Fuck you. This I'm gonna keep tweeting you since you like talking shit until you respond. And so he's like 12 tweets in a row. So I go, eat a dick or come see me. I'm not hard to find. Fucking bum bitch, right? And then he's mad now. He's tweeting. So I'm looking at the tweets and I'm like, you're in university.
Yeah.
So I go, university? ? Oh, so you're a university thug? I go, shut your bursa bitch ass. I go, you fucking stipend sissy. You had to start. I'm killing him, and I'm using all college references.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna return your tweet until you get off academic probation. I'm not gonna respond until you get up to at least a 2.5 cum. I'm hitting him, banging him, right? And now his friends start retweeting it because it's funny.
Yeah.
And because they don't have they have no loyalty.
Right.
And
he's done.
He goes, oh, so now I'm lame because I'm trying to get an education. And go, you sensitive fucking bitch. Right? And I'm killing him, right? So he just, come send me the address, So he puts his phone number, he's so mad, he puts his phone number.
On Twitter.
That's a bad idea.
I call him.
A really bad idea.
You called him
I call him up, I say, yo, what's up? He goes, who's this? I go, you know who the fuck you left the message
with? You're on Twitter, man.
It's me, motherfucker. I go, look, first of all, relax. I said, listen. I said to him, look, let me say something. I said, say you rapped. I go, because that's what you black guys do. You rap. I go, you had the hottest 16 bars that you ever dropped. Somebody steals the 16 bars and produces it. I go, you okay with that? He go, yo, that shit happens all the time. People don't get copywritten. They don't just, I guess that's not what I asked you. I asked you, is that okay? Yo, motherfuckers, you know, if they don't know me and they get my shit and I can't, what I'm gonna do, that's life. I go, that's not what I asked you.
Yeah.
I asked you, is it right?
Wait, so he actually was a rapper?
Yeah, he did. He did music.
So,
yeah.
And you guessed that.
Of course.
Everybody. He said it.
That was a good guess.
So I go, he goes, I just want to know, what do you... Would that be okay for somebody to just jack your shit? He goes, I guess you're right about that. You got that. So the kid who stole the stuff, he said the reason why he put the videos up was because he was a fan of mine and a fan of Patrice's, and he figured he would put up the videos and then I would come after them and
create publicity.
Because then I would come after him other than the traditional way of him sending me an email or something, because he knows that I have some fame. I would never get around to his email. This was his excuse. So I said, so that was your boy's excuse. I go, you told me to suck your dick. And I go, look at your cell phone. How many minutes is you on the cell? He goes, 39 minutes. I said, I'm on the phone with you for 39 minutes, and all you did was tell me suck your dick. So how inaccessible
Am I if I'm on the phone with you right now?
Yeah. True.
You got that.
Here's the reality of this. I said, do you have to have some kind of integrity in your art? I go, integrity above all, integrity and boundaries.
Yeah.
I said, look, I'm not a religious person. I said, but I love the story of Jesus Christ. Here's a dude who's getting the shit beat out of him. And they go, look, all you got to do is say, I'm not the dude.
Right.
And we'll let you go.
Right.
He goes, eat a dick.
Right.
I'm the dude. They start beating the shit out of him some more. Come on. Carry the cross. Just say you're not the dude. Eat a dick. Fuck you. They put him on the cross, nail him, and goes, just say you're not the dude. He goes, eat a dick. They kill him, and we remember this story for thousands of years later just because a dude had some integrity. Right. That's what the story means to me. It's the integrity of his beliefs.
Yeah.
So whether you're religious or not, you believe it or not.
Well, you could just use Braveheart if you're not religious. Same, similar story.
It's the
you
same,
know?
Exactly.
You said freedom. He's like, fuck off.
Similar?
Let's say the same.
I like that. Freedom!
And any one of those dudes who have that integrity of integrity
honestly,
of belief.
Just like I'll believe
I said Desmond Tutu went to jail for apartheid. They said you
Nelson Mandela would die for it, right?
Nelson Mandela said, they said, we're going to let you out. He goes, fuck you. I'll
die for it, right?
He says, I'll come out when you end apartheid.
Yeah, right.
And we remember this one with his name forever.
Right. Martin Luther King died. I mean, that's just crazy.
It sucks.
He's bringing shit up now.
we're Jewish. It's cool.
So was Jesus. Jesus was a Jew.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't want to say that
same
either.
Company.
I don't believe he ever was, but I don't believe he ever existed.
That's a long time
I don't believe
ago.
He existed anyway, but that's not the point.
That's not the story. The story is
complicated. It's the fucking story.
The story is good. And that's the point.
The story is dope.
Never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
So, So he goes, true. I go, look. And I'm going to say, I said, you have to have some integrity about what you do.
Right.
If you don't have integrity, people will never remember you if you don't have any integrity about what you do. He goes, I see what you're saying. I go, and I'll tell you what, you come to New York. I said, I'm going out to Chicago. I said, I'm going to do shows out there. I got tickets for you and your baby's mom. And here's the other thing. When your baby's mother's twisting your nuts, you call me, and I'll teach you how to handle it. Here's my number. Log my number. Yo, I appreciate that. So he goes on Twitter. He goes, okay, just finished speaking to Dante. I understand his point of view. Mad respect. He puts RNS, real nigga shit. This is what he puts, right? He goes, I think he's right.
Nice.
And all of the Twitter fans jump on this kid. You fucking dick. You fucking Twitter fight.
Switch like that,
yeah, switch like that. You fucking dick. You Twitter fight a motherfucker to get on the phone and suck his dick. You piece of shit, bro. They just start screaming. And I'm like, this is the problem.
Yeah.
You
should have taken your integrity lesson and stuck with him hating you. That's what you should have done.
Yeah.
If you have belief, stick with it. You should be
like, goddamn, how many people do I have to call now?
It really started making me feel like I get that this kid who stole this stuff.
Yeah.
They just really don't have any sense of integrity at all.
Right.
I just had I don't know, you probably didn't see this. We ever see American Pimp?
HBO show back in the day.
Yeah, American Pimp. There's a pimp on there called Rosebud with two D's. It's two D's for that.
It was
double
like,
pimping.
It was basically the real life of that.
Oh, okay.
But they weren't all haters, but it was basically, right?
So Rosebud, one of my fans reached out to this guy. I said, anybody that's got a girlfriend, a date, but even. You should watch American Pimp once a month. Just to keep it.
They have the Players Ball one episode, right?
Yeah. Well, that's Pimps Up Hoes Down.
Oh, you're right.
Players Ball.
I apologize.
But both of them are good. Both good reads. I say you should. If you're in a relationship, you need to watch that once a month. Just to keep your pimp up.
Mm-hmm. Keep you fresh, right?
You gotta keep your pimp up. So, the kid wrote it, he watched it. And he's having problems with girls, so he wrote letters to all the pimps. And Rosebud wrote him back.
Wow.
And then he was telling Rosebud about me, got the guy's number. He was like, man, I'd like to do the show. And I ended up interviewing Rosebud on my show.
Wow.
Right? But he's retired now. 46 years of pimping. Retired.
That's a lot of pimping.
Got 46 years of pimping.
Damn.
And grandchildren. Got grandchildren now and two daughters.
And a pension.
No, that's what I asked him. I said, you don't get a pension? This should be giving you at least 10% out of the hours. Well, that's
you got to be paying into my 401k this whole time. What are you doing?
But it's amazing. He was talking about, you know, we're talking about principles and boundaries. He was like, when I was pimping, I would never, ever fuck a chick unless she was paying me. He said, because how, if I'm fucking a chick who's not paying me, how then they can fuck a dude and not get money out of him? So there has to be these boundaries. Whether how skewed they are ethically is not the point, but the fact...
Wow, especially when you're in the business of it.
Right. The boundaries. It's the boundaries. So principal. If I can fuck a bitch and not get paid, she can fuck some dude and not make him pay.
Right.
And that's the ethical boundaries. So, and talking to this dude, but he was supposed to call me, and he goes, yeah, man, I had some family stuff. And he goes, yeah, my daughter, she never ran away, but she ran away. And he's telling me, now, this is Rosebud, the double D, the double dose of pimping. And he's saying, and I'm like a fan, like I'm goofy about this dude. Like it's like if I just spoke to Pryo on the phone, right?
You're so hard.
I'm like, oh shit, it's motherfucking Rosebud. And so I go, well, what's the problem? He goes, yeah, she ran away. He goes, I know the streets. And it was really difficult for me not to.
What's that? I don't.
It's that way.
It's definitely that way. That way to the right?
Yeah.
Follow the lights, I think he said. Yeah, yeah.
Go that way.
So he goes, he goes, yeah, my daughter ran away. He says, I was so strict on her because I knew the game. And I just was, and now she's rebelling because I was so strict with her, you know?
Yeah.
So I go, Rosebud, I mean, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful, but let me just say this. You pimped for 46 years. I said, I don't know if you know this, but your daughter's a bitch. I go, she's a girl. And if anybody knows how to manage a bitch, you do, right? You're forgetting who the fuck you are. Right?
Some basic lessons.
Yeah, well, I mean, because, you know, but that's what happens.
Yeah.
You emotion makes you forget who you are as an individual. You forget what your abilities are, and then you get into yourself, and then you forget what you actually are capable of doing. I was like, look, if you can't, you should be able to pimp it. Just like you, if you can pimp money out of bitch ass, you can pimp her into college.
Yeah.
You can pimp a bitch into college. I pimped a bitch in onto Broadway. She was a singer. I was dating her. She was a singer, really good singer, actress, right? She was like, I always wanted to do Shakespeare in the Park. I go, all right, well, what do you got to do? She says, well, you just can't do Shakespeare. I go, why not? She goes, well, you got to go to the Public Theater in New York, and then that guy makes so-and-so. Well, who does it? Well, this guy I used to intern for him.
Yeah.
So you know him, motherfucker.
You got a connection.
Okay, here's what I go. Well, what do you have to do? She says, you got to get a press kit. So well, here's $100. Go get the press kit together. Yeah. She goes, oh, it's going to take, I can get the press kit. So she goes, I don't know if I want to go. I go, okay, here's what it is. I'm not fucking you again until you take the press kit.
Damn.
I'm not fucking you. You can't do that. I go, I'm not fucking you until you get the press kit. She takes the press kit down. She goes in there. She meets this guy, the Shakespeare dude. Shakespeare had already been filled. But she gets... The guy goes, what are you doing? What are you up to? Such and such. She goes, well, I'm acting, trying to get into things and stuff. Gives her an audition. She gets two auditions. She lands two Broadway plays.
Wow.
Well, they were off Broadway. They went to Berkeley. Because, you know, all the Broadway plays go to Berkeley.
Ooh.
They perform up in Berkeley in Cal. And then they come back to New York. And then they decide if they're going to fund it for Broadway. Went to the Broadway play was called Passing Strange. Really cool I'm not into Broadway, but it's like a rock opera.
Okay.
And she booked it, went to Broadway, did that, and then she did Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown. She did that play too.
Wow.
Sang Carnegie Hall.
You pimped her into ambition.
I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I had a chick I just slept on one time, and I had a lamp with, you know, the little turn knob, and the knob broke. One day I come in, so every time I, you know, take a rag and turn it, come back one day and go to turn on the light, and the knob is there. Come from. She went into the department store, found the lamp, and stole the switch off.
Wow.
That's peppin'.
Yeah.
That's good. That's peppin'. It's peppin'. It takes in different ways. It's just power manipulation.
Can I help you? I'm just looking. I'm just looking for, like, so I chopped the lamp.
For the switch, but, you know, but yeah. But that other thing's getting ready to drop. They're going to blow him up again. But I got to do my interview with him before.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna bring him in. I'm gonna be benevolent, and kind of just explain to him, because he's not a bad kid and he's really talented too.
You say he's young, right?
Yeah, he's 26. But I mean, he's young.
But he seems like talented enough to do the jokes well. If you do the jokes shitty, no one will watch, right?
Yeah. And he's got some stuff that he didn't copy.
Yeah.
Like he's done some. So he's a talented kid, but it's just, you know, you gotta do your
own. Go through the copying stage. Usually, like when you go through the copying stage, you're not like recording yourself and putting it like out, you know, doing it, you know.
But it's
verbatim.
Gotta be like a fatal trap.
Yeah, usually, it's like
you probably put it out there, and maybe you think a couple people are gonna watch, and then a lot of people watch.
Yeah, your ego.
Fuck. Like all these people are watching. I gotta keep it.
And obviously, I'm doing something right because I love it. I mean, even though
you're not young enough to, you're too young to know that this is not. This
is hard to stop.
And he doesn't have to deal with a skeptical open mic scene and a comedy scene that goes, "Bro, you just stole that shit." You know, he's in his freaking bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and they love him.
Yeah,
I mean, and he loves him.
He's got a fan base.
I know they love him because they've been shitting on me for fucking 6 days.
Yeah.
So, he doesn't have to go perform in like a barn with hay bales for seats.
Yeah, he's just in his bathroom.
He's in his mom's bathroom.
With his mom's bathroom with a freaking iPhone.
You know, so it is, but his editing and all the shit, it's dope.
Yeah.
97 million views.
Yeah, that
is a lot of human views.
I mean, that's like a decent amount of money you make off that many views
on
YouTube.
Then again, I have seen a chimpanzee pissing into his own mouth, and that had 200 million.
Yeah.
YouTube's a weird creature.
But you know,
that's a good video.
To be fair.
And
at least it's original.
Look, we've all seen it, right?
At least that chimp was being original.
But I'm going to tell you why it is, what the whole thing with YouTube, what I realized, the whole science of YouTube and the whole virality of it is this. People with no talent, you find a hot video that makes you laugh, and I send it to you.
Yeah.
I'm really taking credit
right.
for the video because I'm sending it to you.
You found it.
So
you discovered it. You're like
and
Columbus.
I sent it to you. Check. You got to check this out.
Shit was already there, but you're like.
It's me bringing it to you.
Yeah.
And so everybody has a vested interest
in the success of the video.
And that's why the viral videos are always short.
Yeah.
Because if it's too long, then it's represented by the person who creates it.
Absolutely.
Right.
When it's short,
yeah,
it's just some little stupid
thing.
Look
at my
that
discovery.
I found. Look what
it's
I found.
It's a pyramid scheme from then on.
And then it just
exactly
interesting.
That's the difference. And so it becomes this kind of viral thing, and that's why they love this kid.
Yeah.
It's little short videos. It's hot, yo. You gotta check this out. And they email it to somebody. You bring it up on your phone, and then they go, "Oh, that shit was dope." And now they all love him because they've all gotten some fame off of showing him his videos. And they don't even understand the psychology of it, which is really fucked up.
Yeah.
And that's how you get 97 million views.
Yeah.
Because everybody who watched it showed it to somebody else.
Right. So what's your show called again?
Beige Phillip.
All right, right on.
Yeah.
It's available on iTunes?
On iTunes.
Thanks a lot for talking to us. I'm Vince. My name's Vince Mancini. I run this.
Matt Lieb.